Greetings, Internet, and welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 137, Interview with Allison Carty. Allison is a career truth teller who believes in living a life that actually feels like your own. She and her team have helped nearly 200 professionals find a great career fit through her proven clarity process. She is a frequent speaker at universities and alumni groups, including Harvard, MIT, Georgetown, and her alma mater, the University of Maryland. Allison is the author of the bestseller, Career Grease: How to Get Unstuck and Pivot Your Career. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, we talk about career coaching, why people have a hard time with career management in today's world, opening yourself up to the wisdom and counsel of others, and the importance of taking ownership of our lives. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/137. Getting Work to Work is brought to you by Chris Martin Studios, a media production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness through video, podcasts, and design for those who dare to build a better world. Keep in touch with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at gwtw.co/137. By doing so, you'll receive inspiration on Mondays and Fridays with ways to increase your creativity, curiosity, and wonder. All right, you ready for this interview with Allison? Let's get into it. Allison, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little bit about what you do?
Definitely. Well, I'm so excited to be here. And what I do is I run a career coaching firm. We help white-collar professionals who are educated and good-hearted, who are not really loving their day-to-day at work, or they've hit a dead end, or they just feel like they're drifting. Mm-hmm. We really help them to get clear about what next great career move is in order for them, and that will really help them to feel more on track with their career and also like they're actually living their own life.
What an awesome, I guess, job to have. And what got you into doing career coaching?
Well, I was much like our clients for many years. I struggled a lot with my professional identity. Mm. I actually went to school to be an accountant. And the way that that came about was my mom had made a career change from teaching to accounting. And it was a wonderful change for her. Mm. So my parents said, or not directly said in this way, but I think they thought, well, we've already figured this thing out. Accounting, that's what works. So they really pushed me in that direction. And unfortunately, I'm not exactly the same person as my mom, and it was not a great fit for me. So I struggled, and I actually went through a lot of turmoil. I hit a period of depression. Mm-hmm. I pulled back from friends because it's no fun to, when you're in the workforce and getting together with people and they ask you how you are and you're like, still don't like my job. You know, like, yeah. So it really had a big impact on me personally to have that be not in alignment. And I struggled for a long time. I tried to figure out what would be better. I thought about my career all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know how to do it. I eventually stumbled on some volunteer work. The specific experience that really led me down this path was I volunteered at a crisis and suicide hotline, which I know can sound kind of dark and depressing, but for me, it was the first time I got to be in a true helping role, which is really what I love to do. And from there, I jumped into coach training and into starting a business, and I haven't looked back for about 9 years now.
Although, oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, it's taken a little bit of time to learn the other side of running a business, which is the business side, the helping side. I had that one down, but the business side has been a bigger learning curve.
Why do you think people have a hard time with career management in today's world? Is it there's so many choices? Are there, you know, factors in the world that make it difficult? Why do you think people have a hard time?
Well, I actually think that this is a pretty unique time in history, if you think about it. This is a new problem for people to have the option to choose what they want to do. And granted, I am talking about a specific college-educated type person. That's our clientele, which I recognize is a pretty privileged person. Mm-hmm. But historically, I don't think there have been as many options. I don't think there has been as much of an emphasis on fulfill your passion or find your bliss. And it's a real blessing to have all these opportunities and all these unique and different jobs and new fields, and to not just for women in particular have to be a nurse or a teacher, you know, like you can do so much. So I think that because it's such a new problem, people don't know how to solve it. And I find with our clientele, there are a lot of myths that they buy into. Like they think they should just know what they want to be. They might think, oh, I need to do something that the people around me value versus what I'm really drawn to. They might just be used to the educational system and want to stay in that structured, you tell me what to do, versus more the working world or the real world where you get to pick and navigate. So I think it's a wonderful problem to have. And so many people are really unprepared for how to figure out a great career path for themselves.
Well, it's, what's interesting is you mentioned the myth that everyone knows what they want to do and are doing with their life. And so what is the hidden truth behind people who always seem to know that?
Great question. Thank you for asking it, because it's really important for people to understand this. When you think of somebody in your life who just seems to have always known what they want to do, and you look at them and you're like, how did they do that? There must be something wrong with me that I do not have that. I want to pull back the curtain and explain what has actually happened. For that particular individual, at some point in their life, there was another person or several people who supported them in their interests. They might have had a parent who said, oh, you seem to like this, I'll sign you up for this camp. They might have had a teacher who said, do you know that you're really good at this? Why don't you go join whatever club? They might have had a mentor who said, you know, this is not right for you, but this other thing would be. So it looks from the outside that they have just known and like had this easy evolution of what's happening. And for them, it probably was pretty easy because the social supports and the reflection of who they are were right there. They didn't have to look for them. They just had those. And then they were able to continue on that path. For people who don't have that figured out, it's not that you're lacking. It's not that you should have just had some like flash of lightning and then you knew the answer. It's that you have not had those particular types of supportive people around you. You just haven't. And you didn't have them growing up. You didn't have them at some point in your life. And as a result, you need to seek them out as an adult. So it's never that people figure out their career by themselves. There's always a guide. There's always somebody who can see outside of you and really help you to maneuver your own career path. But some people that just happens, and some people they need to find that support consciously.
That's a really interesting just point, though, just the importance of people guiding your career, not as maybe outside forces puppeting you, you know, controlling you, but just guiding you. And I think that's a really important difference.
Well, one of the things about careers that I tell people all the time is they're tricky because they're so close to us that it feels like we should just know. But actually, because it's so close to us, we have a really hard time seeing. So we all need that person with the external perspective who can look at us and say, you know, this thing that you do, not everybody does. This is something unique about you. This seems to be where you're getting energy. Having that perspective is incredibly powerful as a guide, as you said.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting too is a lot of people, when they're, I'm going to make a major assumption here, when people are searching for a job, the first place they go to is Google, and they probably type in things like, how do I get a job 2018? And so doing that, I imagine that you discover things that are biases towards career advice. So what are the two most common types of biased career advice that are both attractive and flawed?
Well, I think that there are two kind of overall camps in the world about career. So one camp is, I would say, kind of a protective parent. Go for security, you know, like make sure you have that secure job, you get the paycheck, you're good to go. That's what a job is. And then the other side is what I would call the passion police that say, you must love every day. It should all be super wonderful. And they are going to be on you to try to make that connection. And I think these are extremes. And what's kind of attractive about them is one hits on security, the other hits on fulfillment. Mm-hmm. But there's so much kind of gray area in between them. And what I find with our clients is that it's a rare individual who only wants financial security or only wants just to do exactly what they love all the time. Most people have obligations, they have dreams, and it's really trying to find that spot in the middle of the spectrum that's going to give them the most of what they're wanting, but isn't necessarily so unilateral and like black and white.
That's really interesting. And when you're working with people, can you pretty much size them up where they fit on that spectrum?
The way that we work is a collaborative process. So I always tell people we don't have a crystal ball. You know, we can't say, aha, you have come to us and this is the answer. I think so many people wish that that existed.
Yeah.
It does not. We don't have it, and it's not there in the world in general. But it's really just talking to people and getting to understand their values and what's most important to them in their life. So I mentioned those two. There's actually three big areas that your career touches upon. It's your level of fulfillment, your financial security, and also your personal time slash well-being. So any career decision you make is going to affect those three areas. Ideally, you know, everybody wants all three of those things. They want to be happy, wealthy, and healthy. Of course, that is great. But in the real world, there are compromises, and we need to build to that great ideal. So often, we need to help the clients to identify, okay, what's in the lead for you right now? What's most important? And that can shift over a lifetime. I was just speaking with a woman today who has a toddler, and you know, being able to have some time with that small child is really important. That may change over time, and that's that shift of what's important in those three areas is often what drives career changes.
So you wrote a book called Career Grease. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that book and what drove you to write that book?
Yes. That book is basically an A to Z of the process that we take our clients through to help them to identify what's most important to them and then to figure out how to translate that into the real world, which I think is the often neglected step. Yeah. I think a lot of people think about things and get kind of lost in introspection. It's really important to me to see people make progress in their actual lives, not just thinking. So the book is really a lot of case studies, exercises, and just explaining our process. And the way I came about writing it was a colleague of mine, we were out to coffee one day, and she just looked at me and she's like, you should write a book. And I was like, okay. And then I did it. So that's how that came about. I will note there is one problem with the book. I really wrote it as kind of a love letter to our clients. Like I tried to be as clear as I could and to share everything that we did. I didn't hide anything. But I think the one mistake that I made is I couched it in terms of a kind of you can do it message. But what I've learned from the book's been out since 2015 is that when people read that message, they sometimes think, oh, I can do it and I should do it all by myself, which then they come back to me a year after reading the book and they're like, oh, I need help. And I'm like, yes, I know. I'm sorry. Like, you do actually need somebody to guide you through the process to get the most out of it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that stood out in the subtitle of the book is the phrase pivot your career. And that phrase to me suggests change and advancement and not just staying, I think, stuck in the status quo or even just making lateral moves from things that you know you can do to, you know, things that are maybe a step up, but not huge steps up. So how should we be thinking about our careers and the steps we need to take to move our career forward?
Let me think about your question for just a sec, because oftentimes the pivot that our clients make is from one industry to another. Okay. But there can also be people who are looking for that kind of next level. And I think in either case, the best thing for people to be doing, or best things, because I have two, one is to pay attention. So to actually think about, is this current role what I want or is it not? So often we can just get on autopilot where we go to work, we do what we do, we're not thinking about it. So I'd really encourage people to just be paying attention and to notice what might be feeling off, what might be looking attractive. And then the second thing for career management that is incredibly important, and I feel like perpetually difficult for humans, like not just our generation, but if you read What Color Is Your Parachute, Richard Bowles, his topic, he talks about this too, is to actually connect with other people. And what I mean by that is if you're interested in a particular area, if you have aspirations to maybe a step up in your career, you really need to find people who are doing what you want to be doing, and you want to like be swimming in those waters, whether that's through taking people out to coffee, joining relevant groups. But that network is so critical for careers. And I could say, like, okay, with our current society of like hanging out online and all of that, we're worse at it. But I think people always have a little bit of trouble with putting themselves out there, feeling a little bit vulnerable. And I would just say, if there's something that is worthwhile, it is to build those relationships, because that's really what's going to give you opportunities. Career opportunities always flow through people. So you need to know the people to get the opportunities.
You've touched on people several times. And so why do you think we struggle with that vulnerability in putting ourselves out there?
Well, I certainly know why my clients struggle. There are a number of reasons. So one is, our clients are really smart and they don't have to ask for help that often, you know, so they, and we can Google so much, you can say, oh, how do I do this? And you can just look it up. So I think the skill of asking for help and knowing that it's a strength to ask for help, not a weakness, knowing that people love to share their opinion, they love to offer help, they love to make connections. But I think oftentimes the perspective people have is, oh, I don't want to be a bother, or they might like, maybe I should already know everything and I shouldn't ever need to ask for help. And when they buy into those mindsets, it really keeps their life and their opportunities so much smaller.
I'm just going to pause and think about that for a second, because it's just like, yeah, that's absolutely right. Just that feeling like, I should know all this. Career is funny in that way. Just because we have a job, we think we should know everything about how we got that job.
Well, and I think it's really a hazard of being an adult. So I used to teach swim lessons, and when I would teach little kids to swim, you tell them what to do, and they're like, okay, they do it, and they give it a try. When I would try to teach adults how to swim, because so much of their life, they do know what they're doing. They thought that they already knew how to swim, even though they were in a swim lesson to learn. And so they would do how they thought they should swim versus what I was telling them. Yeah. So I think it's just a hazard of being an adult. We know so much. We can get up, we can drive a car, we can brush our teeth, we can get food, we can do our job. So it just feels, we get out of the habit of learning, and we I think we just get into that kind of comfortable place and thinking we know everything. Mm-hmm. And it's actually more fun to learn and to reach out and to be open to new things. But it's, as an adult, it's not required of you mm-hmm. to do that.
So without going into too much detail of your practice and how you work with people, what's maybe one or two things apart from just reaching out to people that people can do to embrace change and embrace the fun, as you said, of learning new things and letting go of what we know from our past?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, and this is not necessarily universal advice, but one of the biggest things that I think helps people is to have a bigger vision for your life. And even if you don't know exactly what it is, like many of our clients, if I ask them, what's your future look like? They would be like, oh my gosh, you just freaked me out. I don't know. But if you just have that desire for something better, a desire to spread your wings a little bit more, a desire to feel like your life is more your own, really connecting to that desire, because that desire is what is going to kind of pull you through and pull you forward. Mm-hmm. So connecting to the desire and honoring it. And then the second thing I would say is, and you guys at this point know what I do, so this may come off as a little bit biased, but I would really say reach out for help in the form of a career coach. And certainly my firm is out there, but getting somebody who can be that guide for you, who can hold the space for you to connect to what you want and who can do it with skill. Oh, it just makes so much difference. Like I actually feel, I feel bad when I talk with somebody who wants to work with us and they don't wind up moving forward with our programs, because I'm like, you just signed up to stay stuck where you are and I could have lifted you forward. So I think that desire and then really getting somebody in your corner who can help you.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. One thing that's intriguing as you talk about career management and careers in general is just how more and more people are freelancing, not necessarily, you know, working at full time at a place, but working, you know, part time, multiple places. So how should this shift in work status impact how we think about our career?
It's a really good question. And I do think that, and my understanding from just career events that I've been to, is that freelancing work is on the rise. I think that it has some pros and cons. There's certainly more flexibility and more freedom in picking work assignments. It also comes with more job searching, more branding, more kind of marketing yourself. So it does come with some different skill sets that are kind of a higher level than just finding one job and working it. So I think that's something to be aware of, but it can offer people some great flexibility in terms of finding work that fits in with the rest of their life. So it's certainly something to consider. From where I sit, I see kind of two dreams being sold a lot. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with them. If they match up with you, have at it, have fun. One is going back to school, which is so attractive, you know, oh, I can just go and not have to think about things and have fun learning. So I think that can be a place where people get tripped up. They go to school and then they call me afterwards and they say, I still don't know what I want to do. So just watch out for that as one career option. And then the other is freelancing, or even a step above that, business ownership. It's great. I do see a lot of people who just sell that as the universal answer for everybody. Mm-hmm. And in my experience working with a lot of different clients, it can be a great option. And also, I think coming together in a more structured or formal collaboration can also be phenomenal. So I don't think it's just a pat answer. And I would just caution people. Sometimes I think that people who sell that dream are making a lot of money on selling the dream, and not everybody is getting what they need out of that relationship.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too. It's like, especially in the creative professional world, freelancing is where a lot of people land because of, I think, maybe disillusionment with the past work environments, or maybe just misinformation about what jobs are like for creative people in companies.
Oh, definitely. Totally. So what happens with career decisions is we all have our own limited view of the world, right? So it's based on, as you noted, our past experiences. It's based on our particular path in the world, what we've seen. And the world is so much bigger than that. But what happens is we act on our own understanding of the world as if it were set in stone, rock solid. And as a result, sometimes we might miss out on things that could be a great fit just because we haven't ever encountered them before. Our brains are not perfect replicas of reality. They are based on our own series of experiences. And if you take your understanding of the world at face value, you're going to miss out on so many opportunities. For example, with what you're describing about creative work, maybe somebody had been in a situation that creative workers weren't valued or they weren't treated very well. And then they come to the conclusion that happens everywhere, not knowing that there are phenomenal organizations where they could be a part of a team and be valued and do the work that they love. So if you don't know that and you just jump to this was reality, this was everything that's out there in the world, it could lead you down a path that could be fine, could turn out great, but it's not from a true understanding of the world. It's from kind of a false perception.
Yeah. Wow. That's just the, when you're describing that, it's just like you're describing kind of my journey in a lot of ways of just like thinking that reality was my own experience. And it's just hitting me like, wow, that's powerful. Just thank you for that. Just whew.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a tricky one. Yeah. Because one, we're wired to believe our own experiences, and two, we really, really like to be right. So we're gonna interact and engage in the world in a way that proves us right. So it's tricky.
Yeah. So one of the things that you do in addition to being a coach and being an author is that you're also a speaker. So what's the best advice you ever received as a speaker, and how does it apply to career decisions?
Well, the advice that I think about a lot is I was in an audience of speakers. It was a National Speakers Association event. And there was this hyper charismatic speaker who had come to talk to us, and he just had it. Oh my gosh, he had charisma, he had energy, he had great content, and a lot of it was natural for him. It was just like, bam, he really had a lot of that inherently. And one of the things that he said was, know your lane. I'm a keynote speaker. He just loves to perform. He loves to be out there. That's his sweet spot. There are also breakout speakers. There are people who are better at facilitation. And it's not that one is necessarily better than the other. It's really finding, okay, where are you most comfortable? Like for me, I love speaking and I'm happy to develop it, but I will never be that guy. Like I'm much more of a facilitator. That's my sweet spot. So I think with careers, there can be certain types of positions, similar to how a keynote might be more respected or more compensated or more valued. But if it's not the right fit for you, then it's not the right fit. So in career, I think it's really important to find your kind of sweet spot and to hang out there. One other quick example is we had a client once who was living in an area, I'm in the DC area, that was super ambitious. Like, oh my gosh, the DC area, it's crazy. And he just didn't have that same level of ambition. He was really more comfortable with a lower key lifestyle, lower key work environment. And he felt ashamed and like, so there's something wrong with me. And that's not the case at all. That's just everybody's different. So if that's what you want, go have at it and enjoy your life. Finding your lane accepting your lane and just thriving in it is the best advice.
Yeah. Again, just bringing it back to the creative world, you know, a lot of people feel like in order to be, you know, a great creative, they not only need to know how to draw, but they need to know, be up on software. And then, oh, if you want to be very valuable, you need to know how to code. And so you start adding all of these things that take you away from the main thing that you really wanted to do in the first place. And so we approach our career kind of in the same way, more generalist as opposed to maybe being more specialized in one area, knowing our lane.
Yeah, I think that's a really great example. And it is tempting to kind of get pulled or to follow the hot thing. But and there's certainly value, of course, to keeping your skills up and learning and growing as you go. But it can kind of be a trick where you're actually not honoring yourself. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of get caught up in what you should be doing. And I'm all about helping people to honor themselves.
That's great. What's a style workshop, and why is it important for those looking for a new job or to pivot their career?
So this was actually something that I attended. I have worked from home for a while, mm-hmm. and I'm 6 feet tall and I hate shopping. So I attended this style workshop, and what I found was really interesting about it was it was almost a metaphor for me for what our clients go through, because I'm so terrible at visual things and it's just not my game. Mm-hmm. So as I was going through this workshop and had a wonderful stylist who was helping to kind of hone in on my brand and what I should be wearing and the colors and the fit and all of that. And I was trying on different clothes and figuring things out. And I remember at one point I just like flopped on the bed and I was like, who am I? Like, I don't know. So I think that's sometimes how people feel with careers. You know, as we're trying to figure it out, it can be really confusing. It can feel daunting. And really the takeaway that I got from that is it is so helpful to have somebody in your corner who can say, okay, 1950s vintage dresses aren't really the vibe I'm getting from you, who can just have perspective and move you through the process.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you allude to, you know, this idea of knowing kind of what your life is looking like, knowing who you are. What are some ways in which we can take more ownership of our lives so that we can essentially have that life that we want and that we like?
I think the answer is inherent in your question. So in terms of taking more ownership, one thing, and this might sound kind of pat, is to just kind of pay more attention and try to take, you know, more and more of the driver's wheel in your hands. But one thing that really helped me, and this might be helpful for your listeners, and it's kind of a challenging one, but is to do the things that scare you. And it doesn't have to be big things, but if you do, like if anybody listening can just think for a moment, what's that thing that's on your radar screen that you kind of want to do, but you're kind of scared to do? Like moving towards that is going to increase your level of ownership and increase the size of your world more than anything else. One example of this that's a little bit small, but I noticed it in my own life just recently, is for a couple of years I've wanted to coach a youth sport, and I've been a little bit nervous. I don't know how to do it. You know, I don't know if it will go well or if I have the bandwidth. And I make this habit of doing whatever scares me. So in my professional world, I'm bumping up against some new things now, but for a little while I was like, there's nothing that scares me. I can just, you know, I'm good. But this thing I was noticing, I was like, okay, for 2 years, I think I've been wanting to do this and I haven't done it. And I just decided to put in the application, and immediately it was, nothing has come of it yet other than they're doing the background check and all that. But immediately it felt like, oh, okay, I'm directing my life. Mm-hmm. So that's one tip. Find a scary thing and give it a go.
Yeah. I think sometimes just filling out an application is scary. And so, you know, because I think a lot of people see the list of requirements or the job expectations and they're like, nah, you know, it sounds great, but there's no way I could do it. But, you know, actually going through that process can be a great overcoming of fear.
With career in particular, I have a caveat.
Okay, good.
Okay. The caveat with career for applications are if you know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you're looking for and you're just putting out applications, you are spinning your wheels, mm-hmm. more likely than not. And sometimes applications can be more comfortable than this step that I already spoke about, which was actually connecting to people. So just be careful. There needs to be a clarity before a job application. And if you don't have that clarity yet, then you're not likely to get a clear result.
Yeah. Excellent point. So final question for you, Allison. What's one book or resource that completely changed how you think about the work you do?
Well, I'm going to go back in the day. So back in the day when I had no idea what to do with my life, I read Finding Your Own North Star by Martha Beck. And that's actually who I went through coach training with. And I think that there are just some really good fundamental concepts and frameworks in that book that my team and I were actually all Martha Beck trained coaches. So we lean on those to this day. And I actually was just reminding my team about one particular concept, the essential self and the social self, which we've kind of touched on a little bit here. But the essential self is who you would be no matter where you are. It's just kind of inherent to you. And the social self is kind of the expectations of those around you, and it would change depending on which social environment you were in. And sometimes where people get off in their career is that their social self and their essential self are at odds. So what the people around them might want for them and what they really want, and then that's really confusing when that is happening. So I was just reminding my team, because we've worked with that concept for so many years, that many people don't know that, and it can be really helpful to have that framework. So that's one of my favorite resources.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you so much just for your time today. It's been awesome to hear kind of your approach to careers and why career coaching is so important.
You are so welcome. It's been a lot of fun. I really appreciated the thoughtful questions and the conversation.
Oh, my pleasure. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It means so much to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. Got a few moments to let me know what you think of the show? Head to Getting Work to Work on Apple Podcasts, click Ratings and Reviews, and either click the number of stars to rate the show or write a review. Thank you so much. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.